Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Today's show is a message given by Pastor Joe Schimmel to his congregation at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Now here with vital insights from God's Word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
All right. God is so good. Amen. All right. You know, we'll hopefully get back to the Revelation message. I'm not going to do a part three on this, I don't think. We do have an article, a 25-page article I did. Tony said it took him all day to go through the article and get pictures for it and put it up on the internet. I go, just think what it took to write it. And it's like, well, can't we just read the article? You're going to preach on what you wrote on. Well, I'm going to give you a lot of information that I wish I put in the article. It's not even in the article. On the Noah deception, the Noah movie deception, I should say, and the last days. This is, you know, huge. In fact, we've got a ton of hits on our Facebook from just people sharing the article, which is awesome. I hope you are in contact with Good Fight on Facebook. It's a great way to witness. We have thousands and thousands of members on our Facebook page who, and many of them are active sharing what we're doing and reaching the lost with our tools. And some of the reviews you could read, like one review I just read of our Facebook, they said this is the best witnessing tool in the world. Well, the Word of God's the best witnessing tool in the world, but he's saying, hey, this is a great tool to use. And many people have taken our videos and have said the same thing through, they sold their souls. It's been the most effective thing they've used to reach the lost. But we don't just do that. We do a lot of things, and we look at contemporary issues in light of God's word, and we compare them to God's word to lead people to Jesus. Amen? And it's very, very effective. In fact, several people in this fellowship got saved through Good Fight Ministries, through seeing a video or what have you. And it's a very effective way to reach the lost. The enemy is very effective at damning those in the world through media and through popular culture. And what we do is we kind of put the spotlight, we shine the light of Jesus in the midst of the darkness and draw people to Christ. The Noah movie deception, the reason I've called that is, it is based on what I'm reading from Darren Aronofsky, the director from Paramount, from Russell Crowe. I believe it is a deception because it's being passed off as a biblical movie. In fact, Jocelyn just sent me, I don't know if it's a trailer or what, it's like seven some minutes long, and it has several Christian leaders talking about how this is such a good movie, you know, and so it's so Christ or God, I should say God-centered, and on and on and on. I gave a couple of quotes last week, and I believe a lot of people are being misled about this movie, and it's, as I mentioned last week, it's really, they're trying to pull Christians in. However, Aronofsky being a edgy director, you know, and probably trying to reach the people that aren't Christians as well, he says it's the least biblical message or movie you'll ever see, you know. And I quoted him last week, you know, and he can care, and he drops a lot of F-bombs in describing how he can care less about the test scores that show 98% of Christians said they won't see it if it's not biblically based. And what have you, and on and on. And some of the most discouraging things, I've mentioned, you know, that I believe that Noah would be cast, or at least God would be cast as evil in the movie. You have atheists seeking to do that all the time. As an atheist could even define what evil is. I mean, if we're all, you know, the result of a big explosion and dancing to the molecules of the world, there is no good or evil. You know, it's just what is, right? So the atheist trying to talk about what's good and evil proves our point. There is good and evil. There is God. Only God could establish right and wrong and good and evil. And intuitively, they know there's evil deep down, but they don't want to admit there's a God because they don't want to be accountable to him. Well, it's interesting because when I started looking at the movie and was able to read portions of the script and read reviews and look at it, I became more and more aware that, wow, it's doing just what I thought. At least it's casting Noah as evil. You know, and I pointed out, I quoted last week where Aronofsky says that Noah is a dark character, you know, dark, complicated character. Well, you read his story, he's the most righteous man on the earth, you know. And then I told Tony, I mentioned this last time, I told Tony, I go, I bet what they're going to do is make Noah begrudgingly do what God wants him to do and make Noah look dark, and therefore God looks even what? Darker. And I said that early on when we started looking at this thing, and that's exactly what happened, was I got into more of the script and what have you. Noah's told by God, he believes that he's to put to death everybody, and even humans aren't supposed to survive the flood. They're just there to facilitate the animals, you know, because God cares more about the animals than he does the humans. And you can start seeing a lot of the liberal agenda right there. And the whole pretext of the movie is basically built upon the idea of saving the environment. But he mans an animal hospital before God even talks to him about the flood, because he's concerned about animals that have been hit by poachers and what have you. And he's an environmentalist, and God shows him the pristine earth, and the reason he's going to flood the earth is because man hurt the environment, you know, kind of climate change, global warming. And I quoted last week Aronofsky saying that, you know, this climate change issue is a big issue today, and he admits that that's what he sees happen back then. Was that, do you read that anywhere in Genesis 6 through 9, 6, 7, 8, 9? No, you don't. And he says, you know, the other population, it seems, is overpopulation. Now, it's interesting because according to Brian Gottawa, the whole second half of the script pretty much is a thriller killer kind of thing where Noah wants to kill his granddaughters who are in his daughter-in-law's womb, if they're girls, because there can't be any repopulation. Is that what the Noah story's about? But he can't do it in the end. He just can't find it in him. He apologizes to God that he's not as evil as God. Of course, he doesn't say it that way, but that's the implication. And they may have toned that down a little bit, but all you need to do is sow these kinds of thoughts in millions of people's heads about God. Whether it's more blatant or whether it's subtle, that's how Satan works. Keep in mind, there's a cosmic battle. There's, you know, even the end times, it's all pointing toward what's going to happen in the end when it says that the beast, you know, he'll blaspheme God in heaven, the Antichrist. And he's the man of the hour that people worship. And that's the kind of spirit that's being fostered right now in Hollywood. In fact, it's interesting. There's a new movie that came out called God Is Not Dead. Anybody see that movie, God Is Not Dead? What do you guys think of it? Okay, well, it's interesting because some of you get nervous in this fellowship. Should I say awesome or not? Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules, the Legendary Journeys and what have you, he played the leading role. And he says there's so much anger in Hollywood. They don't like the truth. They'd rather be lied to, and they just attack anybody who doesn't agree with their way. Wow, talk about cutting it straight right there. Isn't that interesting? You've been hearing that for years from me, right? This is from a famous actor. They scream for tolerance and they scream for freedom of speech, but only if it's their way. I don't begrudge them their beliefs. Why do they begrudge me mine? Because he talks about how Christian actors, even ones who've made it big and have been proven their worth as actors, have a hard time in Hollywood. That's the implication. I don't understand this. Please embrace the Muslim religion, Hollywood says. And Hollywood is very pro. Isn't that interesting? Because if the Muslims took over Hollywood, Hollywood is an interesting crowd. A lot of them would lose their heads just because of Sharia law. Isn't that interesting? I don't understand this. Please embrace the Muslim religion, but not Christians. It's weird to me. It's not weird to me personally, because the spirit of Antichrist hates Jesus. Okay, and as long as Jesus is demeaned as less than the Messiah, as less as the Son of God, and his crucifixion isn't what brings forth our salvation through faith in Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, you can have Jesus recast anyway, and Hollywood's okay with that. In fact, they recast him all the time. Just like they recast Noah and they recast God. But Islam is anti the true Jesus of the Bible, because the Bible says this is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. They deny that God is the Father, and they deny his Son Jesus as the Son of God. They don't believe Jesus, Son of God, or died for our sins. Oh, and Hollywood is very anti-Israel, just like Islam. They have a lot in common. Strange bedfellows, but they're united by the same demonic spirit that is behind both of them. He says, it's interesting, Sorbo said, I think more people need to start speaking about it instead of just sitting there and taking it. You need to stand up for yourself and your beliefs. And that's why we do. We do believe. You know, why do we do the ministry? Why do we do? Because this is the religion of the world, folks. Hollywood, the music industry. This is what people, this is the tune they march to. And if you look at what God did through the prophets in the Old Testament, the prophets went after their idols and showed who the true God is. We're iconoclastic because these are the idols of our age. And we're saying, hey, this is darkness. This will lead you away from God. Now, of course, I'm not saying every, you know, movie. I mean, we just, you know, there's God Is Not Dead. Be your own judge on that movie. But it's out right now, and it's getting a lot of Christians, you know, it's packing a punch, something you don't typically see in a Hollywood movie. But you need to be very, very, very selective. You cannot, I would not let my children, you know, go in the backyard and just lift up any rock and grab any insect and just hold it in his hand or her hand. It could be deadly even, right? You can't allow your children just to have the remote or just go to Blockbuster and just grab any movie. A lot of these things, movies are pornographic today, are very anti-God, are very, they try to just glorify sin and evil. They don't share our values. In fact, they have their own values that they are pushing. In fact, the Noah movie could have been a huge, huge, huge blockbuster beyond whatever it's going to be. It may be a blockbuster, but it could be way beyond it if they would have just stuck with the script. There's a lot going on there, man. I mean, the flooding of the world and redemption, the story of redemption and so forth. Sorbo says, if I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. And if I'm right, I've gained everything. I would add to that, if Hollywood and the non-believers who hate God and reject Jesus, if they're right, they gain nothing in the end. If they're wrong, they don't just lose everything. They're separated from God in a Christless eternity forever and ever. Now, it's interesting. I was concerned that this was going to put people a fire under the rear end of a bunch of atheists and agnostics and God haters to just come after God. Well, Bill Maher, before the movie even came out on HBO, real time, Bill Maher called God a psychotic mass murderer in reference to this movie. Hey, God, he says, you know, you're kind of a blank when you're in a movie with Russell Crowe and you're the one with the anger issues. He says, but the thing that's really disturbing about Noah isn't the silly, it's that it's immoral. It's about a psychotic mass murderer who gets away with it, and his name is God, Maher said, adding, what kind of tyrant punishes everyone just to get back at a few he's mad at? Talk about rewriting history. Were there just a few people that were wicked in the days of Noah? It speaks of humanity, all of humanity, as being evil in their thoughts continually, filled with violence and sexual perversion. And Romans 1 speaks of that time, the antediluvian age, where they did not think it proper, they no longer gave thanks to God, but they began to worship idols, the things of this world, the worship the creation instead of the creator. It talks about how they were given all over to all kinds of sexual perversity. And they were filled with murder and hatred. It says all these things in Romans about the time before the flood, the antediluvian period. And Jesus said in the last days it would be like that again. And here we are. And just as Noah was mocked in his day, because they hadn't really had rain like they did when it came down, God watered the earth, it says, with a mist. Isn't that cool? You didn't have to like, oh, it's raining really hard right now. It was like just a mist, man. Beautiful, the cool of the day. They walked with God. And then, man, all of a sudden, Noah was talking, building his ark, like, an ark, rain, what's that? You know, and boom, it came. And the scriptures say in the last days, scoffers will come just like in the days of Noah. And they'll mock us, saying, where's the promise of coming? And it says, God is not slow in regard to his promise regarding Jesus Christ's second coming, but he's waiting for more people to repent. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come back before you were saved? I sure am. It says, the patience of the Lord is salvation. It says, for God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would what? Come to repentance. By the way, that's in the context of what? The flood being a picture of what? The second coming of Christ. And what's God's heart again? Just like it says he was long-suffering in the days of Noah, it says that. His heart was grieved that he even made man. But in his foreknowledge, he had a plan of redemption. That's why he still made man. He waited patiently, it says. The scriptures are real clear about God's heart. And he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Same as it was in the days of Noah. That's the heart of God.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
I thought, isn't it interesting that when you reject God, you end up playing the role of God? You end up becoming the judge and the jury. You're the de facto moral arbitrator as to what's right and wrong. Just a mere little wimpy creature like Bill Maher. And Joe Schimmel, I'm a wimpy creature too. Compared to God, you know, we all are. We're pea-brained. Bill Maher and Joe Schimmel are pea-brained compared to God. But to speak arrogantly as though we know better than the Creator, wow. When he says his ways, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts as far as the heavens are from the earth, that's quite a distance. And we look at our DNA, I mean, we can't even make a blade of grass, and we want to act like everything's an accident. We don't have to answer to any God, any creator. Now, it's interesting because When I saw that quote from Mara, I thought, isn't that interesting? Because, by the way, God is perfectly good, perfectly right, perfect righteous, perfectly just. And what's interesting is the Bible says there's one lawgiver that's able to save and destroy. As Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, amen? He's the one that made us. He has the perfect right over us, and he's perfectly righteous and perfectly just. He cannot do evil, the scriptures say. He can't even be tempted to do evil. So anyone who lost their lives in the flood, it was either a judgment of God because of their wickedness, and by the way, any babies that would have died at that time, that would be God's way of ushering them into his presence, because the Bible talks about an age of accountability, how those under the age of accountability who aren't in open rebellion, knowledge, knowingly rebelling against God's moral law, when they die, they go to be with the Lord. Even David said he stopped crying after his baby died because he said he knew he would be joined with his child in the future. You see, the Bible says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said that's very much better than staying here. The scripture says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. So babies were actually ushered into God's presence, where it was far better than being sacrificed by their parents, which is what was happening in those days, being molested by pedophiles, which is what was happening in those days. In mass, God spared the babies. However, it's interesting. I thought, isn't that interesting that Bill Maher says that? Because isn't Bill Maher pro-baby killing through abortion? I thought about that. So I did a little search on the net on Maher's view of abortion. And wow, it was interesting what I'd found. It was actually a quote that he'd said not too long ago that I remember reading. And I was like, wow, that's right. Bill Maher said the planet is too crowded and we need to promote death. Isn't that interesting? The planet is too crowded. Let's kill the right people, he says. He says the Pope, and we don't follow the Pope, we follow Jesus, but he says the Pope is consistently pro-life. I am consistently pro-death. Maher said, my motto is let's kill the right people. I'm pro-choice. That's pro-baby killing. I'm for assisted suicide. I'm for regular suicide. I'm for whatever gets the freeway moving, that's what I'm for. It's too crowded, the planet is too crowded, and we need to promote death. And this guy is going to lecture us on the immorality of God. God can't even conceive of being immoral. It's so contrary to his nature. His nature is good. God, as the scriptures say in 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16, God is love. Amen? By the way, I don't see Bill Maher, you know, getting in line and volunteering to be the first one to go to solve this overpopulation, quote, unquote, problem. Do you? No. In fact, I don't think he's even on the list. I think I would be on his list. I don't doubt it. I think you would be on his list if you love God, because he hates people that love God. By the way, it's interesting, with all the indoctrination, with all Satan's power to indoctrinate people toward atheism, with mass media, with the constant banner of evolution and Darwinism and, you know, National Geographic, all the nature shows, which are some of them are just have beautiful footage, but man, it's so used for evil so often. In the public schools, the government schools, in constant indoctrination. It's not education, it's indoctrination. Even after all of that, there's only a few percent of people in our country still that are atheists. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that? It's because intuitively we know we were made, and you have to suppress that knowledge, the scriptures say. And I'm not saying that that number won't grow. I believe it will as things. But I think ultimately people are going to realize, you know, I mean, during the book of Revelation, when that's fulfilled, people know there's a God. The judgment's come. It's so clear. And that it's not an atheistic world. It's a godless, antichrist, anti-God world. And that's what's fostered through many of these movies. Now, I mentioned just briefly because I didn't want to get into it because I only had so much time last week and I wanted to save important stuff for this week. But I started researching Darren Aronofsky and I started saying, you know what, let me look at some of his movies. Let me read reviews. I could only find one on Netflix that he had done that I thought I would look at, and it was his first movie. But I read a bunch of reviews on his other movies. One was called The Black Swan, which I saw when it came out that it was out, and I read reviews then that it was quite filthy, you know, sexually and what have you, and so I definitely wasn't going to go see that movie. It's so hard these days. There's so much filth out there. But so what was interesting, he did The Fountain, which I didn't see either, but I started researching it. Isn't it interesting when you look at this guy's movie? In The Fountain, Genesis, a paraphrase of Genesis 3:24 comes up. That's about Adam and Eve basically being booted out of paradise, booted out of Eden. It's a paraphrase of that. And Aronofsky deals with the problem of death, because you see, From dust they came, dust they would return. That was the penalty, being booted out of paradise and going back to dust, being separated from God, was the penalty that they suffered because of the rebellion of God's moral law and God as Lord of their life. However, Aronofsky's message is, it's a good thing. You know how the Gnostics, I mentioned before, the early church's greatest enemy was the Gnostics. We've studied them in depth. Our video, Hollywood's War on God, we show Gnosticism in a lot of the top movies that people don't even recognize. Then when they see that, I've had people interview me on the radio, different just for that movie, that film we did called Hollywood's War on God, and I've had them say, Joe, it's amazing. One man that interviewed me said, Joe, this was one of my favorite movies to show the government's power over people, and now I see it. I realize it's not about the government's power over people. It's about God's power and how we must reject it. It's called The Truman Show. You watch the video, and I point out that it is a Gnostic, it's made God look evil. Christoph, Christ, and Moses, they're the ones who run the Truman Show and trap him. He has to get out, you know, and that's what Gnosticism is. We're all trapped in our bodies, and an evil God made the physical world, and we need to be separated from him. Well, listen to what he says, Aronofsky says, about his movie The Fountain and death. If they had drank from the tree of life, he's talking about instead of the tree of knowledge, what would have separated them from the maker? So what makes us human is actually death. It's what makes us special. The Bible says death is our enemy. That's why God has put eternity in our hearts, and that's why it hurts when we're at funerals, because death is not supposed to happen. But he says being separated from God, our maker, and death, this makes us special. That was what Satan basically said, Eve, you know, you'll be as God. And that's basically what he's saying. We're independent of God now. That's Gnosticism. In fact, in Gnosticism, Satan becomes the hero, recast as Sophia, who sets Eve free from the laws of her maker. That's what Gnosticism teaches. Many forms, the most sophisticated and popular forms of Gnosticism, basically the Gnostic Gospels recast Eve as being set free by Satan, who's recast as Sophia, and Yahweh is this evil dictator God, who's a jealous God, and God becomes the devil, and Satan becomes the savior. And here in The Fountain, and I typed in Aronofsky, Gnosticism. I looked for any, and you know what? Nobody's done things on his Gnosticism, his movies. I haven't found it. Maybe it's out there. One person said there's Mayan, Gnostic, and some other, you know, elements in one of his movies. That's all I saw. But I started looking at his movies. I'm like, whoa, man. In fact, it's interesting. He says that of the theme, that which is death in The Fountain, really, quote, it's a movement from darkness into light, from black to white. So death is really a movement into the light. He says the film is about the fact that it's okay that we die, but biblically it's not okay that you die if you haven't been forgiven of your sins and the rebellion that brings death. In fact, a non-believer who rejects God, Jesus said, you know, what happened to the man who rejected the Lord? He went and he was in torment in the flames. And we see that throughout scripture. It's the point a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. We need to make sure we're right with God, that we're forgiven of our sins. Satan said, you shall not surely die, Genesis 2:17, God said, you shall surely die before that. Satan contradicted it. And now death came. So Satan can't deny that death happens. So what does he do? He reinterprets what death is through popular movies, through false religions. Death is our enemy. We need Jesus. We need to be saved.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for the continuation of this important message. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Just one thing, that's to know you. things.